would be come to three short scriptures together. The first you'll find in Second Peter, Peter's second epistle. Chapter 1. Read from verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now a verse or two in the Acts, chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found anyone of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And he heard the voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he trembled. And astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Chapter 8, the same book, verse 26, to get the connection. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that you come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb down before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. I'm sure we've been all very conscious since this morning that God has been speaking to us. And in those three scriptures, we have said before us the voices of divine persons. In 2 Peter, Peter writing his epistle, he makes much of the Father's voice. He said it was such a voice when he spoke of the glory that he saw on the mount. It was excellent glory. When he spoke of the mount, he said it was a holy mount. Let us visualize that scene just for a moment, dear brother. You remember Peter, James and John, they went up the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem, his death. They saw his glory, and they heard the voice, such a voice. It was the Father's voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm sure our brother George has been directing our gaze to this person, the person of the Christ, the one who could say, I am he that liveth and became dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's the living one. He's the exalted one. Father's voice from the excellent glory. When you come to the voice of Jesus, I was impressed by our first hymn this morning. Blessed Lord, thou speakest, was thy voice that drew our hearts to thee, that drew us to the bed of choice, for grace has set us free. I suppose John was characterized by what he saw and what he heard. Our brother has been engaging our hearts with sights, with the living one. But how important it is as to what we hear. Peter never forgot the Father's voice. It was such a voice. You see, it was uttered to him, to Jesus, and it was about him. You will notice in Mr. Darby's translation, it was uttered to him. Oh, the Father found this pleasure in him. It was to him, such a voice, uttered to him, and it was about him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John heard the voice. I was impressed with this in the Bible reading. He said, he did not only see it was a voice, he said it was a great voice. And he goes on to say it was a voice of many waters. Oh, the voices of divine persons.
We were reminded of the voice of God in the Garden of Eden. God is still speaking. And I'm sure there's a voice, still small voice, for each and all of us today, as we've read together those certain scriptures in relation to the churches. We have been directed to that wonderful conversion. The apostle says, he heard a voice. Surely this was a powerful voice. It made him tremble. Ah, the chief of sinners was arrested by this voice, and he was gloriously converted. What a trophy of God's grace was the apostle Paul. He heard that voice, that powerful voice of Jesus. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I was thinking, you know, of Jesus as he stood at the grave of Lazarus. It says he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he says, Father, I thank thee. And you remember he cried with a loud voice at that graveside, Lazarus, come forth. It was a loud voice. And he came forth. I was glad when her brother read from Thessalonians. Sure, it reminds us of that wonderful verse in John 5. All that are in their grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. We're longing for that day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. His voice shall be heard, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It was a powerful voice. It was a great voice with John. In relation to Lazarus, it was a loud voice. It was still the voice of Jesus. And that still, small voice has been speaking to each and all of our hearts this day as we read together. But you can say, fear not, I am the first and I am the last, the beginning and the end. When you come to chapter 8 of the Acts, we have the Spirit's voice here, haven't we? Verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. The Spirit brings his glory nigh to those who far away. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. And we felt today the Spirit of God has had something to say to each and all of us through the word we've read. Have we the anointed ear to hear what divine persons are saying to us? Are we subject to their voice? They are working in happy unison for our blessing and for our help. Luke 15. Let us rejoice together. I was impressed by a remark that was made at the Bible reading in relation to Samuel. Remember, he had the anointed ear. He heard the voice of Jehovah. And I'm sure there's been a voice to each and all of us as we've come together. We have the anointed ear to hear it and to be obedient to it.